Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jason.
So, subscriber Jason Martin suggested that after hearing me explain I didn't want to do a Six Colors podcast for subscribers, he sent me an email saying maybe we should.
No, but really, maybe you should.
Thanks, Jason Martin. So,
Jason Martin will live to regret this.
He will. He will. I hope he'll live to regret it.
Well, there's no call. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not
maybe,
fatal.
Maybe
death
not.
By podcast would be a thing that could happen. So we're gonna try it, and we make no promises about what we'll do in the future. But we thought we would give it a shot, and we're also trying some experimental software to record this, which is interesting, and I'll write about for a future post as well. So that's a kind of fun bonus, I suppose. So hi, subscribers. Thanks for subscribing. We really appreciate it.
Welcome, subscribers.
Yes.
You're our bread and butter.
It's very, pretty much, yeah. Sometimes, perhaps literally, because you can use subscription money to buy bread and or butter if you like.
And that is what I subsist on, so that's great.
Wow. That's a pretty limited diet. So we should talk. So one of the things we're working on right now, I realized that sometimes the site is... the site's totally opaque in that it's just like what's on it, and then you don't know anything about what's going on behind the scenes. And so I spent yesterday and today working on a whole bunch of stuff that isn't going to post for a while, and organizing some stuff. And then I had that moment of like, I should probably write something for the site, because it's that balance of like, I would like to, have people feel like things are happening on the site. But at the same time, sometimes you have to be working in the background on things that are for the future. So, we worked yesterday. We kind of plotted out something similar to what we did last year, which is these. It's basically a gift guide, but we're calling it like our favorite things, or at least we did last year. I don't know if we'll call it that again this year. This is the end of year before the holiday. Kind of here's some stuff that we like, and maybe you would like it too. Kind of stuff. So we broke down like four or five of those articles yesterday that we're gonna collaborate on.
I think it's like halfway between like you should go out. Here's things to buy because either they're of interest to you or you might want to give them to someone else in the holiday season, and not quite like a best of the year sort of thing, since this stuff, some of it spans back before the year, but it has sort of elements of both of those, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit of both. And it's fun to do. And last year, I was surprised the response to the pieces last year was really great. So that was something that made me sit up and take notice. Like, people actually like want to know the stuff that we're using and the stuff that we would recommend to others. And last year we went outside of normal tech categories a little bit, and I suspect we'll do that again. At the very least, the games piece that we did, like physical games, was very popular with people because, nerdy people who read tech podcasts or read tech websites and listen to tech podcasts also like to play games, it turns out, and with their families, and buy games and like board games and card games and things. So we'll probably do more of that.
There's a Venn diagram there somewhere.
Yeah. 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 Along with some other things. I asked Phil Michaels to write a piece about holiday music. So hopefully he'll do that because he has
opinions. A delight in and of yourself, even if you don't like holiday music. Except, in fact, perhaps especially if you don't like holiday music.
Perhaps. But he has opinions, and hopefully we'll get some playlists out of that. So on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever I can think to make playlists, that we'll get some playlists based on that too. So that's hopefully in the hopper for the next couple of weeks. And it's December now, which means that we owe the subscribers an issue of the Six Colors magazine for December, which we are working on. And there's like a little document with some departments and things, but I got to write a bunch of stuff for that. And that's going to be a work in progress, I think. We're going to try some stuff out. We welcome the feedback from subscribers about what they like and don't like, and what they want to see, because really it is something that's made for subscribers, and we want to give you what you want to see in that.
Yeah. If you need more cat pics, we will put in more cat pics.
Yeah. If you want to hear us talk like this, say so. And if you don't
want to hear us talk, we'll just release a 10 minute MP3 of dead air.
that's right. It'll be literally, I'll just set the microphone up next to the web page with the site on it, and you can hear the site.
The soothing tones of Six Colors.
Yeah, which makes no sound. So that was something. Also, Jason, when he was asking for our for us to do a podcast, he suggested we could talk about stuff that we've written.
That's
lately.
Jason, the subscriber, not you talking about yourself in the third person. Just to clarify.
Thanks, Dan. Jason doesn't roll that way, and neither do I.
Okay.
What? Yeah, it's confusing. So in the last week, you keep writing stuff about all the crazy stuff you're doing using iWork.
Yeah, I have been spending a lot of time with iWork because it's included with every Mac, right? You know, and so, or it's given, it's free. I can't even remember how they distribute it these days.
Yeah,
anyways,
you get a, like a coupon when you register a new Mac or
pretty much everybody who's got a Mac has iWork. So I feel like I want to see if I can get away with using it for most of the things that I do every day that I need, you know, a word processor, a spreadsheet, or even a presentation tool for. And for the most part, it works pretty well. There are some shortcomings here and there, but I think Apple's done a good job of constantly improving them. And I'm genuinely pretty impressed with the stuff that I can do. I track a lot of my accounting stuff in there now. And in fact, I've expanded that even further, although I haven't posted that yet. Writing up how I'm tracking my expenses. But I think I will add that and update that template I distributed a little earlier this year about how to use that to sort of track your input and outflow of cash.
Yeah, it's I like it. I don't use numbers so much except for the pretty charts. All the charts that mm-hmm. we do for the Apple financials are all in numbers because numbers makes very pretty charts.
It does that.
But you know, Keynote is probably the iWork app that I use the most because I use it for all my presentations and I love it. I've been using Word on iOS a little bit more, although I'm mostly using OneWriter now on the iPad.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because I was trying to write something on an iPad the other day and I was trying to decide, what do I use? And I ended up just going back to Pages because it's free, it's there, and it works pretty well. It's not great, but it's passable.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I have never liked Pages. It's just I've never enjoyed using Pages. So I've always tried to use something else, anything else but Pages.
Yeah, I fooled around with Editorial for a little while, but it's just a little. I mean, you don't need to use all the features, obviously, but it didn't seem to quite work for what I wanted. I don't know. I my favorite typing app of all time is still the Hank's Writer app, even though you just can't get anything out of it, which is still terrible. But I love the clicky keyboard sounds.
Yeah, I also have that thing where I'm using OneWriter now, which is a little less fiddly than Editorial, and it's already been updated for the iPad Pro, which I've still got, and that makes a difference because you know the iPad Pro, if you don't update your app to support the new screen size, it upscales, and it's everything's fuzzy, and the keyboard is big and weird, and it's not nice. So OneWriter though is pretty nice, and it's got a JavaScript based scripting language inside, and Federico Vittici wrote some scripts for it, and you just download them off the website for OneWriter, and those have been actually that's pretty cool stuff that you can do.
I'm still holding out for Scrivener for iOS.
Oh,
someday.
Scrivener for iOS has been coming for like 4 years now, and it's still not here.
I know.
Although they lost their developer, and yeah, it's tough because that's a great Mac app, and I would love to have Scrivener on iPad, as I think most Scrivener users would. And I haven't checked in. They usually do a contrite blog post about this time every year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, where there's the contrite why Scrivener for iOS is not... Let's see, the most recent...
Our developer was eaten by a lion.
The most recent... That actually happened. It looks like the most recent version was... they posted in June that they were looking to get another...
Well, 6 months later, we're about...
another iOS coder to speed up the iOS version, and they said it had been complete for a month or two, but they have some outstanding issues that they're trying to address. And that was in June, so hopefully we'll hear more from them, because Scrivener is a great writing app on the Mac.
It is. I keep thinking I should write something about that for the Mac, because I feel like everybody who is a writer knows about it, but a lot of people who don't do writing don't know about it, and it's one of those enormous apps with all these various like great features, which again you can use or not use depending on how you feel about it. But since I write a lot of fiction, that is my go-to fiction writing.
Yeah, it's what I wrote all of my the novels, the three novel drafts that I've got are all in Scrivener too, and I do love it. It's I hear from people all the time who are like, oh, I just discovered Scrivener, and they mention it to me because I wrote stuff about it on Macworld back in the day, but. Yeah, it's probably worth revisiting. I wish we could. I'm sure Keith at Literature and Latte would tell us what's up with the iOS app. If he, you know, we could maybe elicit his status report. Maybe we should ask him instead of just talking about him on this secret podcast
that he'll never hear. Keith. Yes,
maybe he's a supporter.
That's actually possible. If you are,
sorry,
welcome.
Keith. We love your app. We really want it on the iPad. You know,
too
everybody
enthusiastic.
Does. Amazon Video maybe on the Apple TV, huh?
I'm pretty excited about that, but I'm unclear. It's weird because that was from like a developer filing a bug report, which is, or you know, feedback essentially, which is, it seems like a weird way to announce that, and you always wonder if those people are actually know what's going on or not.
Right, right.
So, I mean, but, you know, again, like I wrote, I think, why wouldn't they? You know, especially since they've got one on iOS. I feel like the number of people watching, you know, Amazon stuff on iOS is probably even bigger than the number watching on the Apple TV. But at the same time, if, you know, Amazon's willing to say, hey, you can watch our stuff on a Fire tablet or an iPad, why wouldn't they say you can watch it on a Fire TV or an Apple TV? So I'm not going to be surprised when it shows up. I'm a little surprised it's taken this long. But, hey, can't argue with that.
Yeah. Well, I hope it shows up, too. That would be nice to just have it be complete. And I think that's okay. I wrote a piece last Friday that was ridiculous. It was in the vein of my old bad Apple script pieces that I wrote.
Yeah, the coloring light bulbs. I was very interested in that because I don't have any colored light bulbs, but now I'm considering. Maybe I should invest.
I have two smart light bulbs, you know, LEDs that are settable to various colors. They're LIFX, L-I-F-X. And I've been trying all these ways to get my outside lights to come on at sunset and stay on until like 11 o'clock and then turn off again, right? And like you can do a timer, but there's something about the wiring in my house. When I bought a timer and I put it in, and it like blew out light bulbs because it was like not providing the right, I don't know what it is about the wiring, but it was like the bulbs that I had started to flicker and then they started to die. And it was obviously something about this switch was causing, and I know nothing about electricity, was causing, it was not enough current or something. It was, I don't even
know. That's actually
know.
A feature, not a bug.
It was bad. There were ghosts. There were ghosts in the wires is what I'm saying because I don't know about it. But so I finally realized maybe the smart light bulb thing. For Halloween, I put the smart bulbs out there. And just because I wanted them to be like, yeah, I can make them orange and I can make them like pulsate and like flicker like a candle. And I thought it would be kind of fun. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe the solution is go back to a standard light switch, leave it on, put two bulbs in there and do a schedule of having them come on and off. And you can do that within the LIFX app. You can also do it with If This Then That, IFTTT, which is what I did. And there's a weather widget for IFTTT that is, it'll do a lot of things based on the weather, but one of the things it'll do is it's got sunrise sunset data for your local location. Mm-hmm. So I have a rule that says if it's sunset, turn on the bulbs.
Right.
And then I have another rule that basically says at 11 o'clock, turn off the bulbs. And the LIFX plugin for If This Then That lets me do things like fade the bulbs out over 20 minutes or something like that, which is kind of neat. And so then I decided, I could do other things with it. What would I even do? What other triggers could I even do? And I decided, okay, what if I make the lights turn blue when it goes, when it's in the 30s or below? Cause here in the Bay Area, you know, we do get lows in the 20s. That's basically our overnight lows in the winter can be down in the 20s. And I thought it would be just kind of fun. Like, let's make the house look really cold. It's cold. So so there are a couple ways to do it. The weather widget will let you set a local temperature thing and have it fire off. But that's based on a National Weather Service or whatever data somewhere that I don't even know where. And I have a weather station in my backyard. So it turns out that my weather station software that runs on my Mac server can do an alert, which is firing off, basically running an app or sending an email when a certain condition is met. And the condition that I set was like, if the temperature goes below 40, launch this app. And the app is an Apple script, and all it does is do shell script and ping this URL that If This Then That generates using its maker channel, which is basically, the maker channel is like, whatever. Like if something can ping a URL at If This Then That, then it can trigger off of it. And so this when it goes below 40, it runs this app that just runs the shell script that just basically pings a URL that says it's under 40. And then the LIFX is set to like make it blue because why not?
You've basically recreated the old Hancock building here in Boston, which has a blinking light on the top, which tells you the weather, which is if it's solid blue. Well, solid blue means clear. Blinking blue, I believe, means overcast. Blinking red means, I think, so red means rain. Blinking red means snow in the winter. And in the summer means the Red Sox game has been postponed.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, yes. So that's what I'm going for here. And I don't know what else to do with it because, you know, it's a silly thing. But in the end, I got it. It totally works. And I got it to work. And then I've actually adapted that now. This weekend, we put the Christmas lights up. And I've got a Wemo switch like yours. that is a smart switch. You plug it into a wall and plug something into it, and then you can turn it on and off using the internet. And so now the Christmas lights are also on a schedule for If This Then That, based on sunset and then the time we want them to turn off at night.
Well, and you've inspired me to look at IFTTT a little bit more, which I already have for some things, but I just bought online a new Logitech home control. Like, it's a remote. It's an IR Blaster, you know, remote entertainment system thing. I have a universal remote. I don't love it, and it's kind of janky. Some of the buttons are kind of going. So I bought this one that comes with like a little base station that you can connect, and I noticed part of the reason that I got tipped over the edge on this is it has an IFTTT channel. So I can, and better yet, I can apparently wire that in with my Echo. So I can tell my Echo to turn the TV on to a certain preset. I'm really kind of unconscionably excited about that. So I'm going to play around with that when it shows up and hopefully write up something this week or next week about it.
Cool. Well, so that's us talking about, by request, Jason, Martin, that's us talking about things on a podcast that's secret. And maybe even not a podcast. And I've got to figure out how to let people. I'll send out a little email to subscribers, letting them know that we talked and that there's a file that they can go get.
There is no. You can't actually listen to the file. We're just gonna let you know that we talked. Yeah. We thought about it. We talked about it. We recorded it.
But
you
Dan,
can't
if that's true,
it.
If that's true, then they haven't heard this.
I know. That's what I'm counting.
Somebody
on.
Is listening to this right now.
But who? The ghosts.
Well, anyway, thanks for being a Six Color subscriber. We really appreciate your support. It's been a fantastic month. I'm very happy with the response that we've gotten. We're working on stuff for you. And also, of course, the things that you do by supporting us, support us writing things on the site too. So it's not just the stuff that's just for subscribers, but you're also allowing us to prioritize the site a little bit more. It gives me a budget to pay outside writers. It gives me a budget to pay Dan to do more for the site. Yay!
Woo-hoo! Dan loves that. So I'm reader Dan, not me, obviously. I don't talk about myself in the third person.
No, definitely not. And so thanks to everybody out there for subscribing. And I'm going to press stop now, and thus ends the secret podcast that I hope that you heard.